This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. Hope you had a great holiday season. We sure did. It was nice last Sunday when we had Kimberly Johnson on to talk about some of the stresses of the holiday. She talked about, sometimes there's some family dynamics that go into getting together during the holiday season and some of the financial struggles that people have, and really more how to enjoy the holidays with those potential distractions. And thanks for your comments on that. Many of you just sent in texts, and I appreciate hearing that. And I think you're right in that those are things that we need to talk about. And while we talk about what's going on here locally in Green Bay, I do think that the stresses of the holiday is pretty universal. Today, we're going to focus on the city of Green Bay, or the greater Green Bay community, I should say. And the subject today that I want to lean into a little bit is homelessness through the holidays. You almost don't think those go together, right? Everybody thinks happy holidays and holly through the holidays, but there are homeless people here in Greater Green Bay that are getting through the holidays just like all of us. And I invited Demi Diamond. Demi Diamond is the director of resource care at the new community shelter here in Green Bay, right off of Mather Street. And I know her. I spent some time there part-time. She's been there way more than full time for the last few years. And welcome.
Hello.
Hi. And thanks for what you're doing.
I love what I do.
Yeah, so you
I'm
do.
Happy to do it.
And that is why I'm glad you're here. You have an interesting background in that I don't know that people go to school to work at a homeless shelter.
No, I actually went to school for advertising and public relations. I have a bachelor's of arts from Grand Valley State University in advertising and public relations. And I worked in advertising for a little while, and it just didn't vibe with me. I wasn't super into it. And then I went back to restaurants because I worked in restaurants all through high school, all through college. And then when I was at our restaurant, I was working at the Green Bay Country Club with a friend. And
that's a pretty hoity-toity restaurant.
It is. It's great. I did love working there. But it was just, I wanted to do something a little bit more. And then my friend that I worked with at the country club, she asked me to come help her with something at the shelter one day. And I said yes, because I wasn't working. And then I walked in, and I felt like I was home, as weird as it is to say that about a homeless shelter. But wow. It just felt right. And I was like, I want to work here. And then I started 2 weeks later, and that was 3 years ago, and I've been there ever since.
And you're happy there. You bring good energy. Mm-hmm. You have a leadership role.
I do.
And your title is your director of resource care, residence care, I mean. Mm-hmm. Who do you see then? I mean, you see people there because there's, 118 people that are living mm-hmm. there, but you're the intake lady, or tell me what you do at the new community shelter.
So I oversee the team that does 24/7 staffing of the facility and secures, ensures the safety and security of the facility at all times. I would say the biggest thing that my team contributes to the organization is that we do almost all of our intakes. Every now and then a case manager will jump in and do one for whatever specific reason. We've got a case manager that is fluent in sign language. So if we've got somebody that speaks sign language, mm-hmm. That case manager will do it. But for the most part, my team does all of them. And those can take anywhere from an hour to 4 hours, depending on how much somebody has to say. And I would say the biggest thing with intakes is that sometimes people just want somebody to listen. If you've been living in your car for 6 weeks, nobody's really sat down and listened to what you have to say, what your story is. And my team does that.
And they do that well. This is the holiday season, and we just came off Christmas. New Year's right around the corner. Homelessness isn't a seasonal thing.
No, absolutely right? not.
But Does homeless differ during the holidays compared to other times of the year?
Yeah, our wait list usually gets a little bit longer around the holidays. It's also pretty long in the summer, too. But it a lot of the time it gets a little bit longer on the holidays because sometimes people will get in fights with their family and that was their living situation. And, you know, if they're not on the lease, then they don't have any legal right to really be there. So their family will say, get out. Sorry.
Really?
You know, yeah.
Merry Christmas. That's almost unbelievable. I know I see that too a little bit. I mean, I'm a little bit more into the development side of the shelter. But with homelessness during the holidays, I mean, what are you seeing from the emotional, the social challenges that people are facing during the holidays experiencing homelessness? I mean, it's got to be, we talked last week with this counselor about the stresses of the holidays and signs of depression, signs of anxiety, loneliness. Throw homelessness into that.
People get really lonely during the holidays at the shelter. And it's nice. I mean, hard to say nice because, you know, you're in a homeless shelter, but you're in a homeless shelter where it's very clear that somebody really cares about you. We do this thing every year called Project Christmas Present. And we make sure that all of our residents have a present to open. And it's a big project, but it makes you feel cared about. And that's something that a lot of people that are staying there can lack at times.
Oh, and that Project Christmas, you brought it up. I want to spend a little time on that. That is a big undertaking. That's a huge undertaking. You've been at it for months. Mm-hmm. And I think what's really cool about what you do, and we as parents, you really try to make the individual feel special, right? As a dad or mom. What the homeless shelter, what I see you doing, and since you're occupying part of my office, I see a lot of what you're doing. You really make them, it's individual gifts.
Yes, yes. So our goal is usually about five or six. Sometimes, some years it's seven, some years it's nine, but at least five items that each resident gets to open. We try to shoot for clothing. We try to shoot for like winter wear stuff. So shirt, hats, scarves, gloves. And then something just fun. This year we gave every resident just a bracelet that says worthy. And that's something that my family and friends all across the country was able to coordinate. Because you are worthy of doing the hard stuff that it takes to get you to a better place.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that was really special to me to be able to give to all of our residents because of my friends and family that were willing to contribute.
And we talked about the seasonality of homelessness. The weather in Green Bay is more adaptable to maybe being homeless in the summer than it is in the winter. How do you handle the coldness? I mean, do your numbers go up just because of the weather?
Our wait list gets longer, and it's hard to tell people that I don't have a bed at times. But we do see a lot more people coming in and staying longer during the winter. So that's a big difference is sometimes in the summer, they'll come and stay for a couple of days. And then in the winter, they'll come and stay for the whole winter.
And to stay, your shelter is different than some other shelters I've been at. Mm-hmm. And I've been at a lot of shelters. As you know, I served on the homeless task force for the U.S. Conference of Mayors and kind of learned a little bit about homelessness. Your shelter isn't a soup kitchen. It's not a place to sleep and eat.
No. Nope.
When you talk about people who stay, they're staying because they're moving forward. Is that safe to say?
Right. So I always tell people that we are a programming shelter more than anything. So if somebody, if their goal is to break the cycle of homelessness, somewhere like us is where they want to be because we have the resources available. We have case management that works one-on-one with them. And my team works really closely with the case management team because we really monitor residents throughout the day. We monitor their behavior all 24/7, 365. And if there's anything that we're concerned about, we let their case manager know and their case manager, either if it's emergent, we handle it. If the case manager thinks that it is affecting whether or not they're going to be able to reach their goals, their case manager handles it. So we make sure that people are doing what they're supposed to all the time.
And there's got to be a little, not pressure, but the people who are there that I want to talk about intake, and then I have a question for you. The intake is, you dig pretty deep.
Yes. Sometimes the questions that we ask on the intake form, sometimes they elicit some pretty big emotional responses, and that's entirely understandable because some of the questions are as hard as, you know, are you a victim of domestic violence? And if so, when was that last experience? Sometimes it was yesterday. And my team has to guide our residents, our incoming residents, through the feelings that those kinds of things bring up. And they do an incredible job of doing those things. And I'm really proud of them all the time.
The new community shelter over on Mather really looks at the whole person. Mm-hmm. And like I said, much more than a place to sleep. And you want a safe place. That's number one. But to move forward is really important. I don't want any specifics, but are there people that just aren't interested in that? Like, well, you do the intake and it's like, wait a minute, I don't know that this is for you. Because you have a waiting list, right? I mean... Mm-hmm.
So sometimes if somebody is at the place where they're not ready for somewhere as involved as our organization, they're not ready to take the steps that it takes to get better. And you know, that's where they are, and that's okay. And hopefully they get there one day. But there is somebody on the wait list that wants to. There's somebody on the wait list that's ready. And if I would rather serve that person than somebody that isn't willing to do the work that it takes to get to a better situation.
And when people advance to get to a better situation, as much as you get a lot of accolades and some other people there, the hard work you do, the residents are working as hard as you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, our residents work just as hard, if not harder, usually harder than most of us. I mean, we all dedicate a lot of our time and a lot of our effort and a lot of our love and passion to this organization. But our residents are fighting an uphill battle against a lot of, you know, things that are really hard. So,
and some of them have attempted to get out of homelessness before.
Yeah.
And maybe not at the new community shelter, but at other shelters in Northeast Wisconsin, Oshkosh, Appleton, some here in Green Bay. How do you know that this is the place for them?
If they're ready to move on, you know, and when they're in the intake, if they're, you know, standoffish, maybe this isn't the place for them yet. But we'll always give somebody a chance.
Okay. When we come back, I want to talk about the things that the addictions that they might have, some of the past they might have, you know, without mentioning names. I just know that you've taken on some unbelievable situations and these people are out working, you know, a year later and paying taxes. And I want to just talk about some of the basic things that have to be done day one. And during the holidays, it's even tougher, but you're doing a great job with that. We're going to be right back. We're talking with Demi Diamond from the new community shelter here in Green Bay. We'll be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Jim Schmidt, and we are talking with Demi Diamond, who is the resource?
Director of Resident Care.
I knew that. The Director of Residence Care at the new community shelter here in Green Bay, right off of Mather Street. And before we get back to some of your questions, I want to just thank our sponsor for this program, Nicolet Bank. And of course, Nicolet Bank has been around in Green Bay since 2001, 2002, kind of back then, can't believe that, newer bank, but they do so much for this community, and they are one of the people who help the new community shelter continue to function. I know you guys aren't big on government money. You prefer to get the private dollars from Brown County, and you only deal with, or your main focus are the residents of Brown County. And like Nicolet, they're just very focused on the community. I mean, that's just a great bank. They got, you know, what, 50-some locations, but headquartered here in Green Bay, right on Washington Street. And yeah, we've had some small businesses in here that are just very grateful for Nicolet helping them get off the ground as a small business. And, you know, personally, they've helped, you know, I've had money there, and so many people have gotten their mortgages. And they also have a great, like, wealth management department where you can park a little money and they can make it grow for you. So I just, Nicolet Bank and what they do for the new community shelter, what they do for this community, I just want to give them a big shout out for helping sponsor this program. So Demi Diamond is here and working with the, as the director of residence care at the new community shelter, we're talking about when people come in, they spend an hour to 3-4 hours with you. Is this the right fit for them?
Sometimes it takes a couple days for us to determine if somebody we're questioning upon intake. Sometimes it'll take a few days for us to be like, all right, well, maybe it's not time yet. Because we always want to give somebody the chance to, you know, prove that they are ready to for that this step.
Yeah.
But if they're not, then we would move on to somebody that's on the wait list that is ready.
And being ready isn't they're sober and they're working. It's that's where they want to go.
Right. Right. They don't have to be. I mean, upon the day of their intake, they have to be sober. But, you know, it could be day one there and right. We'll work with them from there on out.
Let's talk a little bit about sobriety, or let's talk about addiction. I guess that's what I want to talk about. The majority of your people that come in, is it safe to say have some kind of addiction problem?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would say if I had to guess, I'd probably say about 70-75% of our residents.
Yeah. And there's no pill for that.
No. No, there is not.
So they've got to make a commitment that I am done with alcohol or heroin or whatever I'm addicted to.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes a couple tries.
Yeah. What's the support that the new community shelter has for people like that?
We've got quite a bit. Our case management team is incredible with working with our residents on a one-on-one basis. We also, on our case management team, we have Larry Nicodem. He's a addictions counselor. He's our on-site addictions counselor. He leads two relapse prevention meetings a week for our residents. And then anybody that was a resident at any point can also come to those meetings with Larry and the rest of the group. And then we also host a couple meetings as well. So like NA, AA, HA, those kinds of things. We host those in our facility as well.
And again, it's incumbent upon the residents to commit to a life of sobriety, to commit to not using anymore. I think it's okay. Can we talk about you do check on them?
Yes, we do. So like I mentioned earlier, we monitor their behavior 24/7, 365. If at any point we see that somebody has odd behavior, we can drug test. We call them UAs, urine analysis. We can drug test them at any time. We can do it in the middle of the night if we choose to. We can do it, you know, four times in 1 week to one person if we choose to. And that's, you know, it really holds people accountable.
And you're not shy of breathalyzing people either.
Oh, absolutely not. No, our residents, all of them, minimum breathalyze once a day. Our emergency shelter program, which can house 98, they have to breathalyze every single day by 10 p.m. And our transitional living program, which can house 20, they have to breathalyze twice a day.
I remember I talked to a guy one time. Again, you know, I don't work with the residents like you do, right? I do other things there. I get people to kind of volunteer and help out. And I also raise, you know, money for the shelter, which I'm very proud to do that. I remember talking to this one guy and I said, how are you doing? Because I saw him in the hall, didn't really recognize him. He goes, you know, I've been sober for 5 days. I don't ever remember being sober for 5 days in a row. And I'm like, you know, tomorrow's going to be 6. And he's doing fine. I mean, that was 6 months ago. And I just, people don't know what they don't know, for one. And secondly, I think you would know this more than I, but they've been in a world that isn't good.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the time, one of the biggest barriers to somebody getting sober is that the people around them are not, you know, whether or not they know the people around them know that it's contributing to this person's, you know, illness. Maybe they don't, but there's nobody that's under the influence at the shelter. So to have a support system that they can go to. So any other resident that they know is that they become friends with while staying at the shelter, they can go to them. They can come to my staff at the front desk and say, hey, I'm just having a really hard time. And I think I just need somebody to listen to me for 5 minutes and tell me that I'm going to be okay. And we'll do that. We'll take you into the intake office and sit you down and be like, what are you struggling with? And, you know, if we think that they need an emergency intervention services from somewhere else, then we'll reach out to those services and get them connected that way.
So we've been talking about homelessness intake, which you oversee at the community shelter, kind of a wait list, assessing people. Is this right for you? They need to make a commitment that they're going to be moving forward. But what I want to talk about when we come back after this break is just the upside to that. I mean, it's unbelievable how, like, happy. That's a weird word to use during the holidays and being homeless, but they are.
Right.
They are.
Yeah.
I've had meetings, and for someone to say, this is the best Christmas I've ever had, it's like, wow, and you're in a homeless shelter, mm-hmm. and yet, you know, I live in a decent neighborhood, and I think some people just can't wait till this is over. You know what I mean? And it's, their attitude is, I don't know what you do, but it's...
I think we support our people. And that's, you know, they know that we care about them. And I think that makes a big difference.
And it's cool when I give a tour through there and they can't tell who works there and who's a resident.
Right.
And that's pretty cool. I mean, they got a smile on their face. We do. And to say, look, I don't even know who works here and who's homeless here. And you're doing something right. So when we come back, I will talk a little bit more about the upside of making the commitment to get out of homelessness. And then I'm like, really drill down a little bit more on what the community can do. And I know that you work in both those areas. We're going to be right back. This is interesting. I'm glad you're here. You made, I know 118 people's Christmas is very special over at the shelter, and you continue to do that. We're with Demi Diamond, Director of Residence Care at the new community shelter here in Green Bay. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll be right back.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. City on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to our second half of Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Today we're discussing, as festive as this time of year is, with Christmas just finishing and, of course, New Year's right around the corner and kind of the whole holiday season. Our guest today is Demi Diamond, and Demi is the Director of Resident Care at the new community shelter here in Green Bay on Mather Street, right off Broadway. 118 residents living there. And not only do they care for these 118 people who are living there, and everybody's like, well, how long do they stay there? It's a little bit, you know, how long is a rope? You know, some people, you know, a month, other people over a year. And as you mentioned in the first half of this program, they can stay as long as they're moving forward.
Right. They can stay as long as they're working towards their goals and still adhering to our expectations. They can stay as long as it takes to solve their underlying issues and causes of homelessness. So, I mean, it could be somebody's wages are being garnished for however long, and it might take 2 years for that to be solved. And if that's how long it takes, that's how long it takes.
Right. I'm amazed at some of the people there that I've met with that have been there a little over a year, year and a half, that have finally found sobriety. Maybe mending some fences, but moving on from people that you maybe should move on from, you know? And then sometimes they share with me, you know, they when they got to you, they had nothing. Right. I mean, I'm not, people don't understand what nothing is. I mean, you think, well, I got nothing. I don't have, I lost my house. They have lost their friends, their credit rating, kind of their hope a little bit.
Right.
Which is really sad to see.
Yeah. Sometimes when somebody comes in for intake, it, sometimes they just feel small. And I don't really know any other way to put it. They just feel small. And one of my favorite things to do is watch as they stop feeling small over the course right. of the next couple months. Because you empower them. I get to empower people every day to, you know, you deserve better than what right. you've created for yourself. And you deserve the hard works. You deserve to do the hard work that it takes to get somewhere better.
And they got to believe that. Mm-hmm. You know, work hard and I'm going to end up drunk again. Well, no, you can work hard and not drink.
Right.
And I think, and I've participated in this a little bit, not nearly to the degree that you have, but it is fun to do things with the groups, with some of the people if they want to. Like, we went to the botanical gardens.
Yes, we did.
And that was a good time.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. We had probably 12 or 13 residents that signed up. We put up a sign-up sheet. We made it available to all of our residents, and a number of them signed up. We got to go walk around the Garden of Lights with all of our residents. And, you know, it's just, it's a big part of recovery for a lot of people is learning things that they can do sober and that they don't need to have, they don't need substance use to have fun. So finding things that they can do that way.
And, of course, we've been to the Rockers game. We went apple picking. Cherry picking, and it's fun. They some of them haven't done that. I mean, I feel bad for their childhoods. I don't really get into that, but when I say, you know, you guys want to go cherry picking, how many people? Like some of them, they've never done that. I just think growing up in this area, most of us have, and I don't want to assume anything. But sometimes I'm really saddened by how little they did as kids with their families, but then they didn't have the same family structures that some of us did. So.
Right. Well, and a lot of the time, poverty can be generational. So a lot of the time, if they're struggling with homelessness, their parents were probably not middle class either. I mean, yeah. It's very possible that they could have been, but a lot of the time it is generational. So maybe they didn't have access to it, and maybe their parents were also addiction, struggled with addiction, and maybe they're the first person that's ready to break the cycle.
And I think once they get for lack of a taste of it, it's like, this can happen. I can do this.
Yeah.
You get that energy. And then some of them I've talked to, and I won't talk out of school here, but they have like $4,000 in their checking account.
Yeah.
You know, saving up to do the, what, 2 or 3 months security deposit, because maybe their credit's not real good. And to get, I mean, that's incredible. I don't think a lot of people have that kind of money in their checking account.
Right. Well, I mean, if all of our residents, while they're staying with us, they have to save 70% of their income, which I think you've said this a number of times. I've never done that before either. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It is a lot. And that's discipline.
Right. And it takes a lot of discipline to be able to do something like that. But if you think about it, they get meals from us three times a day. They don't pay rent while they're staying there. They've got the resources to be able to save that much money.
And why your place works. And like I said, I've been to a number of shelters, as have you. And of course we study this stuff, read about it and look at other programs going on throughout the United States. I think there's a lot of reasons that New Community Shelter actually works. And one is just the surrounded services or the support they get is incredible. I mean, it's you and you have a staff of people, you've got case managers, you've got a full-time alcohol and drug counselor that's in the building right around the corner. But the expectations you set, and I like that because I was always kind of like that, whether I ran a company or even at home, They all do something every day.
Yes.
I think that, talk about that a little bit.
So my team monitors resident chore activity, which, I mean, making a chore chart sounds like you've got 12-year-olds, but you know, you never know what kind of environment somebody was raised in. Maybe they were never taught how to use a broom, use a vacuum. I don't know. You never know.
You don't. And I thought, oh, come on. But that is true. I mean, I've heard that since I've been there. But you teach them that.
Right. Absolutely. I will absolutely teach anybody anything that we know how to do. If I know how to use a vacuum and you don't, I'll teach you.
Right. And they do a chore, which makes it sound like it's a farm, but I mean, chore is a weird word, but you do a chore every day, everybody.
Yes.
And I think that's cool that it's everybody, that some people aren't getting out of it and some people have to do it. And everything from the dishes to cleaning the bathrooms to vacuuming to washing the windows, and you get, the place looks like it's brand new and it's 20 years or been here for 20 years. But one of the reasons it looks brand new is you're like deep cleaning it every day.
One of the biggest things that I really like to do when I give tours is tell people that our residents are the ones that keep the building clean.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, my staff is the one that coordinates the chore list. We have them submit on a sheet when they're going to be at work, when they've got doctor's appointments, yada, 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 anything that we need to schedule around. And then we put them on the schedule of chores to do, whether it's, you know, you got to clean the bathroom in the morning or you have to sweep them up the lobby at night. And they do that every day.
And eventually they all work, but even with a job that's 8 hours or 9 or 10 hours, they don't get out of a chore.
Right. I mean, I have to go home and do my laundry, so.
Right. I mean, right. I do too.
Right.
I don't do my laundry, but people, you got to go home and keep the household moving.
Right.
And I think I've heard people say, oh man, are you kidding me? I've worked 10 hours today. It's like, yeah. Well,
yeah. Well,
so did I.
Yeah. To make Project Christmas happen, I worked almost 20 days in a row. And I still went home and swept them up my kitchen and did the dishes. So,
right.
You know what? You can do it too.
And I think once they do that, they really feel, wait, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I've talked to some returning residents who, if we use the term graduated over there, but who've gone through the program 6 months, a year, year and a half, however long they were there. And they come back to volunteer. And that's a pretty beautiful thing when someone turns their life around and they say, look, you know, I making money and I just want to come back, either give something to the shelter and or come back and volunteer. And it's funny how some of them say their maintenance of their apartment or their house is 100% due to the new community shelter.
Yeah. So sometimes people will come in during the intake and then the first couple of days, the structure that we require from our residents is not their favorite thing in the world. And they let us know. They'll let us know that it's not their favorite thing. And then by the time they leave, when they leave, we ask them to do an exit survey and we ask the 5 most useful resources that we provided them with. And one of the things a lot of the time is that we have structure and that if they've gone so long without structure, it was really useful to figure out that how to navigate establishing structure.
You know, and sometimes you think people grew up like you because you lived in, I don't know, certain world. But it's amazing the people who didn't have the advantages that many, many, many people have had. And small advantages, but advantages nonetheless. And we talked a little bit on the way or before the show. Even education is an opportunity that many of us had that for whatever reason they didn't get. And new community can align them with that as well.
So we partner with the Department of Workforce Development. And that's more of a case management thing than my thing, but I know a little bit about it. If somebody needs to get a like forklift certification so that they can make $10 more an hour than they would if they didn't have that certification, then we can set them up to go get that certification through the DWD or through us or... again, more of a case management thing, so I'm not entirely sure how all of it works, but that is something that we are able to do.
And there was a little story that, again, no names, but it's incredible the person that came in with really nothing, younger guy, really is in his 20s, I think, and really ended up at Georgia Pacific, and he's doing great. Mm-hmm. And he gives everything to the shelter. That his life was turned around, he was saved, but... I mean, he did a lot of work.
Right. Right. I mean, they give us a lot of credit, but you know, I mean, we just pointed you in the right direction.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that's cool about, you know, we talk about an atmosphere there, you talk about an atmosphere there where everybody participates. Mm-hmm. There's, and once everybody does, you really don't like the freeloader. You know, it's like, wait a minute, this, but well, there's a cool story there where you had a blind guy and you said, maybe you don't have to do a chore. And he just felt like he really wanted to do a chore. Like, I want to do something. And you had him, I think, clean pet. I forgot what you did. But anyway, just you made him part of the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We didn't have a chore for him because he couldn't, I mean, we didn't know what to have him do. And disinfect the pens at the front desk. I mean, it's simple, but it's right. Still a chore.
And he felt like he was participating. Yeah. I think that's really cool. So people are at the shelter. They come in there and it's the holidays and they're experiencing that. Do you see people slip back into like, woe is me? Or how do you keep people positive in a homeless shelter through the holidays? And what can the community do to keep them there and not say, look, I'm going to a bar?
I think the sense of community that we have at the shelter is a big thing. I mean, we really haven't had many people fail a breathalyzer or fail a UA recently in leading up to Christmas or after. So I think it's just, I mean, it's a testament to the way that we treat our people and the way that our people treat each other. I think that's a big part of it too. Yeah.
And I think it's, when we come back, we're going to talk about the future of New Community and, in a positive way, the future of homelessness in Green Bay, because I just don't think it's going to go away. You know, as much as I'm an optimist about life and everything else, I'm afraid we're going to have people who are struggling with homelessness.
I think so too. I think it's something that's going to, we're going to have to figure out how to navigate probably forever. I don't think that you can solve homelessness on a mass scale.
It is a one person at a time thing.
Right. Right. I think it's a one person at a time. You figure it out.
But you're doing that. And with the people who are there, and just when you show them, let's say the light, but when they go to even the bingo night, right? That's a sober event. You have tailgate parties there a lot. You have karaoke night and just like I said, bingo. And I think when people are like, I can do this, you should give yourself a lot of credit for that.
I mean, they can do it. It's not me that's doing it. It's them.
Yeah. That's a great facility. When we come back, I should talk a little bit more about how the community can stay engaged, even more so with the New Community Shelter, given that you are really making a difference here in Greater Green Bay. So we'll be right back with Demi Diamond from the New Community Shelter. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Jim Schmidt. Subject this Sunday is we're talking about homelessness in Greater Green Bay. And I know it's the holiday season and let's not talk about it. Yeah, let's talk about it because there are good things happening. And big thanks to the New Community Shelter and Demi Diamond, who is the director of resident care over at the New Community Shelter, which is, of course, on 301 Mather Street here. And we talked about homelessness during the holidays and compared to other times of the year, there's a little uptick.
Yes.
Because people may have an issue at home and that might be the last straw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of the time it's relationships, like a romantic relationships that that fail around the holidays for whatever reason. I don't know. But that's a lot of the time what we see. Boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, kicks you out right around Christmas because there's a fight about Christmas. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, at least they have a place to go and after they meet with you and get through intake. And it may not always be, and look, I'm way over my skis, but it may not always be the best thing to go back to that relationship.
No. Sometimes even people come in as a couple and, you know, we give them separate case managers. You're assigned to case manager A and the boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever is assigned to case manager B, because sometimes we kind of want to encourage people to not move forward with that other person. And, you know, if they want to, that's up to them. It's their decision. But sometimes it is the other person that can be part of the problem.
Yeah. So in the middle of the holidays here, you know what? And I think the community's been very good. You know, I see what's going on at New Community. And, you know, we just finished Christmas and you did a great thing for the residents, getting them gifts to make them feel special. I mean, actually, when you gave some clothes or sweater, you knew their sizes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty.
It's pretty involved. It's pretty involved. And, you know, if one resident, if we know this resident only wears red and black, we'll make sure that the gifts that they get are red and black.
And some may want something that somebody else may not want, you know, mm-hmm. be it Timex watch or something. Mm-hmm. Some people have watches. Some people have been wanting one for some years. But what about outside the holidays? Because would you agree that giving increases a little bit during the holidays?
Yeah, definitely. And it's always appreciated. We're always very grateful for the generosity of the community that supports us. But we also need things throughout the year. A lot of the time during the summer, we really run short on like pajama clothes during like May through September. We're usually short on pajama clothes to give to our residents when they come for intake. And that one's tough because if we don't get it donated, then I don't know what to do.
So. Right. Do people who come to the shelter, do you need clothes donated? I mean, some people come with like nothing, right?
Yeah. Sometimes people come with a shirt on their back and that's it. And, you know, their shoes have holes in the bottom and that's what they got. So I'd say probably the biggest thing throughout the year is that we need brand new underwear and socks, believe it or not. Brand new underwear.
And your residents there, the 120 people that are there, they're 18 years old or older.
Yes.
And they are both men and women. 60, isn't it a little more skewed toward men a little bit?
About 63 or 67% of our population is men, and then the rest is women. So we have more men than we do women always. And I'm not sure what the reason is for that.
But separate living arrangements, separate bathrooms. Yes. I mean, you really keep that separate. And, you know, obviously work there part time and just haven't seen any incidences that have happened there. I think it's back to that intake. I don't think you give yourself enough credit for the 2-hour intake, how important that is to really drill down to who are you. And I mean, is this the right place for you? But if it is, it works.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the biggest things that we stress upon intake is you will follow these rules. And if there's some that, you know, we'll work with you on it because there's a lot of things that it's a learning curve to staying at the shelter. And we're understanding of that. But the big three, you got to be sober. You got to be in for curfew and you have to be respectful. Everything else we'll work with you on. We'll work with you on making sure that you're meeting your programming goals. We'll work with you on the fact that, oh, you didn't do chores, but come to find out you don't know how to read and we didn't know that. Well, let's get you on a chore that doesn't change so that you don't have to read. So we'll work with you on the stuff that we can. But the big three, the sobriety, the curfew and the respect are things that we are unwavering on.
And that respect for each other, respect for yourself, that just makes you a good neighbor when you get out or when you decide you want to leave. I mean, there's really no clock on this thing. But what does a shelter do? Like, let's talk a little bit about the long-term stability. And what does the shelter do and what does the community need to do to get their arms around this, not the problem, but the situation we have?
I think pay attention. You know, when you see something, say something. And when you notice a need, when you hear something, a show like this, come on down and see what we need. Come right. and talk to somebody that works there and just figure out how you can get involved.
And the new community shelter, and people have been very generous during the holidays, mm-hmm. and we need that to continue, but financial support is always needed.
Financial support is always needed. Yes, absolutely.
And then you talk about other needs that they may have, and then volunteers make that place work. Oh, yeah. I mean, you have 26 employees there, but it's the volunteers of serving the food, the volunteers of doing so many things that make that place work. You know, Demi, you must sleep really well. I mean, you're doing a great thing for the community.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool that you got your degree in advertising and marketing, and you volunteered here and said, wait a minute, this is where I belong.
Yeah. And I've said this since I started. I think I want to be here till I retire. I love my job. I love what I do. And I love the way that we do it.
Yeah, we love what you're doing too. So I just want to thank you, Demi, for what you're doing for the community during this holiday time, but you know, throughout the year, because you know, homelessness isn't a seasonal issue. It's year round, but you're getting people out of homelessness, and that's the main goal. Well, thank you for coming in here. I want to thank Nicolet Bank too for sponsoring this program, and I want to thank Nicolet Bank for all they do in Greater Green Bay. They're very generous to the new community shelter, but they do so much for the small businesses, for the individual, for homeowners, for Greater Green Bay, for both businesses and residential. And we're just grateful that them, like you, at New Community Shelter, are part of the Greater Green Bay community. So with that, everybody, Happy New Year to everyone. And we will be back at the first Sunday, of course, of the month is focused on the NFL. And we'll be talking about that the first Sunday in January. So with that, this has been Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Happy New Year.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.